So if you haven't gathered from the opening prayer, I want us, before I start this morning, to make a promise to one another. And that promise is this: as we're talking about wisdom and receiving God's wisdom through others, through correction, through counsel, through whatever, if your mind goes, which many of ours do, boy, so-and-so really ought to hear this sermon, you can pray for them, because maybe they do. But this morning in prayer, the Lord asked me to remind us all, including myself, that we would hear this sermon for us. This is not a sermon about how to give advice or who you should be guiding in their pathway. This is a sermon about how open are you to the counsel of others? How teachable are you? So can we make that promise together? And so when that thought comes, pray for that person, because maybe they ought to be here, and invite them for next week, but try to stay with the Holy Spirit and examine your own heart, as hard as that may be to do at times, right? So, and in that spirit of being humble and seeking Christian fellowship, my sermon this morning opens with a picture of the Green Bay Packer quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. And if you don't know why that's a humility on my part, it's because I'm a Chicago Bears fan. And if you know anything about Chicago Bears fans, this is the dark side right here on the screen. And it is Super Bowl Sunday, but actually I have a lot of admiration for the Green Bay Packers quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is an excellent quarterback, arguably one of the best in the league when he's healthy. And he has set many records and led his team to the Super Bowl, victoriously so. An excellent athlete and champion. And one might imagine that when he gets to this place where he is all that, and a champion, and has so demonstrated his ability to lead a team, that there would come a point where he would turn to his coaches and say, "I got this. Look, you didn't get to the Super Bowl, but except I was on the field and I was calling the plays, and so I got this. What else do I have to learn?" But in fact, Aaron Rodgers has a demonstrated practice, which perhaps is what makes him such a champion. God gave him the talent, to be sure, that few would have. But all through his journey, Aaron Rodgers has been a player who loves to be coached. He loves to seek out coaches from early on and to work hard to hear what they have to say to get better. He loves, hear this and try to run this through your own life, he loves to not focus on just those moments in video where he threw the winning touchdown pass, but he spends time on the ones that he threw that were intercepted. And he spends time delving into the mistakes. How does that sit with you in your life? He seeks out his coaches, and as he's grown, even as his abilities has increased and his position has increased, more and more he seeks out coaches on the team and elsewhere so he can be the best player that he can be. Isn't that amazing of a champion? And we find that not only in football, but in other areas of life, that our performance improves greatly when we have a coach. When we have someone who's reflecting back to us, watching what we can't see and noticing what we can't notice, and giving us feedback on our performance, whatever realm it is. Some studies say we improve 40%, some as high as 70% in our effectiveness. And in fact, the magazine Forbes says that if you are looking for a new employer, or if you want a boss who would be good to work for in their people skills, you want to find one who has a coach. Because by the very fact of seeking coaching in their lives, that executive or that boss is already demonstrating an openness of mind that they are willing to grow, they are willing to learn, and they acknowledge that wisdom can come through others than just themselves. So whether or not their improvement ever affects you directly, You will be working for someone who recognizes that they are not complete in themselves and they have room to grow as well. When we come to the Proverbs, it seems to bear out, again, God's word is always true, whatever season or age we live in, but we find, in fact, that this is true because God has it in the Proverbs to guide us. That when we talked last week, I'll give you a nutshell whether or not you were here or not, or you remember, but the bottom line of the sermon last week is there's two characteristics we need in order to move into wisdom. The first is to acknowledge that we don't have wisdom in ourselves and that our ways are not God's ways and often get us into trouble. Can I get a witness? And the second is like unto that, is God does have wisdom. He is perfectly able to provide what we need, and his wisdom is always greater than our wisdom. So as we move in today into the scriptures, we find that there's a, throughout Proverbs, there is the fool and there's the wise. But there are several kinds of fool, and as you progress in the scale, we'll be talking a few about those different kinds of fools. Again, this has nothing to do with intelligence or school performance. This has to do with whether or not you're humble enough to enter God's way and receive his word or not. And so the dividing line today is between the wise and the fool is the one who is willing to receive counsel from others. Whether it comes in the form of advice, whether it comes in the form of correction, whether it simply is you understand that you do not want to do life's journey. You want to test your understanding of Scripture or God's voice with others who are trustworthy. So the first thing we notice about, and in Proverbs, of course, there's a bunch of verses. It's like a quilt. There's one here and one here and one here that's all related. So I invite you this month to be reading through the book of Proverbs. If you open your Bible in the middle, you get Psalms, and you just, next book is Proverbs. It's easy to find. But let's start with that verse that was read to us this morning in Proverbs 12:15, I believe. The way of the fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. The way of the fool is always right to them, but the wise listen to advice or counsel. The first thing characteristic of someone who is wise is that they are teachable. That they understand that their shapes and their thoughts and their opinions are not always perfectly accurate. Even with the word of God, which is always true and always perfect, they understand that even their discernment, their reading of it, sometimes we can get things a little wrong. And so they are continuously looking to grow and to hear others on it. Another word, and I think, I don't know if it was the Message or version I read, was the way of the fools is full of opinions. Don't we live in an opinionated age where we believe what we believe and we're not going to let anyone else come and convince us differently and not open to listening? So this would be someone who only believes what they believe and is not willing to listen to anybody else. This would be someone who only draws their opinions from the people that they agree with. So I'm just saying, perhaps in the age in which we live, that there might be some interaction across the hallways in our national government, but also you. How open are you to hear the counsel of others? To hear what another Christian thinks that Scripture means, and to dialogue, not be afraid, but to work it through together, to make sure that you have an accurate reading. If you want to take words, opinion is contrary to wise. Convicted, knowing your convictions because the Lord says it's true is one thing. But all of us hold these opinions. How teachable are you to hear the counsel of others? And the second part of that is the next verse is from Proverbs 11:14, for lack of guidance, a nation fails or falls, but victory is won through many advisors or counselors. So this is the one who is making decisions that impact many. And maybe in your life you don't feel like that's you, but in fact, all of us make decisions that impact. What we say has great impact. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. The decisions of where we live and what we do has great impact. But one who is wise is one who is humble enough to seek out the best counsel they can before they make a decision. During the Cuban mission crisis, I was really impressed. John F. Kennedy was president, and if those of you who were too young to remember, there were missiles that the Soviet Union were building in Cuba, right underneath us, that was a great concern that they would now be able to reach us. And John F. Kennedy had already been through the disaster of the Bay of Pigs, and so on the Cuban Missile Crisis, he wanted to avert war, but he did not just seek the counsel of his advisors, the ones that he had appointed, the ones that were of his frame of work, you know, mindset, and one who were running his playbook, the ones who he could hire or fire. He went outside and talked to several former presidents before he made his move. One was President Hoover, who was not the most popular president, but had walked through the Depression. One was President Truman. But the last one was President Eisenhower. And if you remember, if you know your history, 1960, when Kennedy was elected, was a bitter, bitter campaign. And although Kennedy had won by some circumstances in a place called Chicago, he was willing to reach across party lines because he knew Eisenhower was a military leader. And he was not going to shut down his council just because of party politics. Oh my, oh my. How willing are you, before your mind goes, yeah, I got some Congress and the president that ought to hear this sermon, so bring it back. How willing are you to go and talk to someone maybe of a different viewpoint, to hear the wisdom in that? How willing are you to read the paper or cable news, dare I say, to other opinions and hear if there is a way of wisdom complete, that you are not complete without hearing, at least hearing, what another view is? How willing are you to seek out before you decide and land somewhere on whether or not someone has counsel for you? So those are the first two. One is to be teachable and to know that we haven't arrived. The second, to seek out people from various points of view, or to seek them out before we make a decision that impacts many. And the third, let me just land on, when we make a decision, sometimes in church, not just the leaders, but how we respond to things, when we make decisions of what we share or don't share, we are having an impact. Are we seeking out counseling before we go and share something that we don't know is true? All those apply. So the third one is, do not rebuke a mocker, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Several years ago, I had a snake in my yard, and I don't like snakes, and so the snake was going after the baby birds. The first year, he got them, and when he came back a second year, I was sure the snake was, I was a woman of God, I was Eve, and the Bible says that my heel will crush him, and I'm sure that meant Jesus, but in the moment, I was claiming it. And as this snake approached for the second year in a row to eat my baby birds, I rebuked him in the name of the Lord, and he hissed at me and came after me. And so I think my husband came to the rescue, and the snake was no more. Let's just leave it there. But that's the image of rebuking a mocker, is that not only will they not receive you, but they will attack you for it. But the wise will listen to even criticism that's unfair and unjust, and pray through to see if there's anything they can learn from it. How would your spouse, your family, your coworkers say you do on that score? I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about somebody who abuses you. There are boundaries, and it's perfectly good, appropriate when someone is being abusive in speech, as Scripture says, to call them on it and to ask them to reframe. One of my favorite lines, when someone is trying to present something but it's gone to the edge of sin or they're just simply blasting, this is the line I use. I really want to hear what you have to say, but the manner in which you're saying it is making it difficult for me to hear you. Please try again. But on the other hand, many of us shy away when we get negative feedback on our performance, or a friend comes and gives us counsel. We shut down because we think about our reputation or our pride or whatever, and we miss even that which is critical. Even if it's 95% not true, most of the time, if we're honest, there's a seed of truth that we could learn from and grow from if we were humble and if we were seeking to be the best disciple of Jesus Christ that we could be. We would receive it and at least pray about it and to see if there's any truth in it. So those are just three of multiple verses about being teachable. But so why is this so important? Why does wisdom come? If God has given us birth, then why are these so important? So the first is that God created us for community. He did not create us to be isolated Christians bumping around atoms and just me and God in Scripture. Every person who started a cult has said, it's just me and God and the Bible. And they don't want to hear what anybody else has to say about verses, and they go off on their tangent. Just saying. When God created Adam, he created him in for community. And when he looked at Adam before the fall, before sin and death came in, God looked at him and said, it is not good that Adam is alone. Before the fall. He created us for community. He needed Eve to come. Because why? Because Eve could see what Adam couldn't see. You cannot see how you're doing as a spouse. You can look at yourself in the mirror. You can pick up signs from your wife and from your kids and from your family. But you cannot see yourself how you're living it out. You cannot see your blind spots. And the enemy loves when someone says, Scripture says arrogantly, when he stands by himself and says, it's just me and God and no one else. That is not the way of Christ. In Apollos, in the book of Acts, you hear the story of a brilliant, talented, better preacher than Paul and Priscilla and Aquila. And yet he was doing great, but he was missing something. And he was wise enough, like Aaron Rodgers, to receive the correction from Priscilla Aquila so that he could be fully equipped. We do receive Christ as an individual decision. We do need to choose each one of us who Jesus Christ will be for us. But once we are born again into the kingdom of God, we are born into a body of Christ. None of us has all the gifts. None of us has all the knowledge. How are you doing living in community? Who is close enough in your walk to be able to speak truth into your life and to give you the feedback that you need? And are you wise enough to receive it? That's the first thing. God calls us into community. The second thing, we cannot see what we cannot see. We cannot see 360. And the community of Christ is there to reflect back to us, to keep us from going astray or to grow us in the way we can. And the third reason is a teachable spirit is the door to wisdom. I don't know about you, but I don't always like criticism. I don't know about you, but I come from a long line of opinionated people. But I do know this, that the counsel and words that have come from my brothers and sisters in Christ at various seasons in my life when I was wise enough to receive them. And certainly the counsel from the leadership team in this church and others has saved me from many more mistakes than I would have made just walking in on my own. God loves us enough to give wisdom. And may it be, as we seek him, we're wise enough to hear the counsel of others.